And yet, they got it done because they had a mind to work. Because they had a mind to work. My mom used to say, I've got a mind to do something, but it wasn't work. Work me over, maybe. A lot of people have told me over the years, a lot of people that have dealt with alcohol issues have told me that beer is an acquired taste. Alcohol in general, but beer especially, is an acquired taste. Luckily, it's one I never acquired. But I always thought, how in the world do you acquire a liking of something that you don't like? You got to drink enough of it to get to the point where you like it. Now, there's something wrong if you're drinking something in order to like it. And yet folks do it all the time because they have a mind to. Because in the end, man's mind on most things is a soft piece of clay, completely malleable by the things outside. And if a man or woman does not desire to keep that mind pure and undefiled, does not desire to keep that mind purposed for God's will, does not have a desire, a purpose, a commitment to be God's, all of those things will influence it. And you will gain an appreciation of things you should not gain an appreciation of. And you'll gain habits and you'll gain problems that come with those habits. And in the end, most people's problems come down to that very one thing. That they have free will. And that they don't think their mind is something that should be sanctified. Paul here in Philippians chapter 4, he talks about three things that we need to have a mind to do. Three things that we need to have a mind to do. Starting here in Philippians chapter 4, we're going to start reading here in verse 6. And we're going to read our text, and then we're going to go back. He says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Now, there's a lot of promises there, but there's also a lot of responsibility. Paul says, your mind is a vessel and you can fill it with whatever you like. And we see that in today's society especially, don't we? You can fill your mind with whatever you choose to fill it with, just as those were capable in Paul's day and those were capable in Noah's day. Life has not changed. That our minds, in most instances, are soft clay. And what we berate it with, what we allow it access to, changes the way we think, the way we feel, the way we act, and most importantly, the way we serve. And whom we serve. He says here in verse 6, he says, "Be anxious for nothing but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Notice the promise. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." He says that we need to have a mind to pray. And you immediately think of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, "Pray without ceasing." And they mean exactly the same thing. He says we need to have a mind to pray. But that's not in the way that we often think. He's talking about we need to have a mind to go to God with our issues, with the things that are going on, with our decisions, with every part of our lives. Do you remember back in Joshua? The people of God are getting off this great high because they just took Jericho and probably without much loss because the walls came tumbling down. And the people went rushing in, and the city was taken without much effort. And unfortunately, a man named Achan took some things. That wasn't the problem, though. God was angry with him because he took some things, and he was angry with the people because they were the camp that he was involved with. He says there was sin in the camp. That wasn't even the problem anyway. If you really think about it, all along, and you see this with the kings as well, all along, the people succeeded because before they did anything, They went to God. Before they did anything, they went to God. And God told them what they needed to do, what He would do for them. He told them exactly how to do things and take care of what they needed to take care of. They had a mind to pray. And you know what happened? In Ai, they lost in Ai because they did not have a mind to pray. Because the fact that Achan had sin in the camp wouldn't have made a difference. Because they would have resolved that. They would have found out from God that you're not in the right situation to deal with Ai, and I'm not going to be behind you. I might actually stand against you, which seemed to be what happened. Because they got routed. And instead of having a mind to pray and going to God, praying without ceasing, instead of taking our requests with supplication to God, they went on their own. And every time we do that, we fail. And we fail miserably. No, we might succeed in our adventure. We might do well, earthly-wise, but when we don't pray, when we don't go to God with our issues, with the things that we need resolved, when we don't take our decisions to God and let Him make them, we fail. We fail. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Essentially, what he's talking about here is that we need to do what we can. We need to do what we are able. And we need to leave the rest in God's hands. Because inevitably, who has the power to do anything? Not us, but God. He says, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Now, we have abilities in and of ourselves, right? We can hammer a nail, or we can drive a screw, or we can drive someone to the post office, do good things, and we can help them cook their meals, and we can help clean their houses, and we can give them money if we have it in order to take care of their needs. But you know when we fail? When we do any of those things without having a mind to pray. Without making God a part of every aspect of our lives. And you know, it's not easy. It's not easy to remember to make God a part of every aspect of our lives. It's not easy to make God that person. But you know what the problem is? Is that when we don't, we make ourselves God. We tell God that we don't need Him. And anyone who has read the Bible, anyone who has even looked at more than just a few individual passages will know that we can't do a whole lot without God. That even the abilities, even the powers that we possess, as minor as they are, they're even a gift of God's. They're not even our own. The energies that we consume, the food that we have, comes from God. Not a single thing we can do without God. Even to the literal way of thinking of it. And we don't want to go to the one who can do something about it. We don't want to avoid Him. Because we think we can do better. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, Jesus has a long, long message for them. And it's all about worry. It's the same message that Paul here brings. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Why? Because you bring your prayers and your supplications to God, and you do your part, and that can give you that peace that passes understanding. Jesus there in Matthew 5, he says, who can add a single measure to a stature? I can't grow a single inch just because I want to. And though I worry about all these things, my worry concerns even the most essential things, and that makes me better than everybody else. He says God takes care of the lilies of the flower, and they're in a greater array than even Solomon himself, and He takes care of the birds of the air. He takes care of everything. And then he ends there in verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. But notice what he says there before that. What's the problem with these folks who are worrying about everything? He says, oh, you of little faith. And we don't like to think about that, do we? When we don't have a mind to pray, there's a reason. And Jesus says that we have a weak faith, or we have little faith, when we are not willing to let God take care of the things He needs to take care of. Yeah, do the things that we have ability to after going to God in prayer, but we don't want to leave it in His hands. Or we don't want to go to Him in the first place because we think we can do it. And He says, you're not relying on God now. You're worried about all these things. You're concerned with all these issues, and they don't matter. He says, if you worry excessively, Jesus says, you have little faith. And I ask, is God God? Sounds weird, doesn't it? Is God God or is He not God? Because if He's God, He can do anything. He can do whatever He likes. But what He likes is to take care of His people. What His purpose is to take us from hell and deliver us into heaven. Take us out of our bad situations that we got ourselves into and right all those wrongs through His Son's blood. That's what He wants. But we don't let Him do that because we refuse to have a mind to pray. Isaiah 26 and verse 3, playing off that peace of God that passes understanding, He says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. We fill our minds with all kinds of garbage, all kinds of drivel, all kinds of things, even that aren't bad but aren't good for us. They're neutral things. We waste all of our time and all of our energies and all of our thoughts on things that do not matter, and we have no time for things that do. I have no time to study God's Word. I have no time to think on positive things. I have no time to do these things. You know why? Because we do not have a mind to do them. We do not have a mind to pray. Because we have not conditioned ourselves to have a mind to pray. Drinking alcohol, especially beer, is a learned thing. Worrying, a learned thing. Being negative, a learned thing. And the more you do it, the more ingrained it becomes. The more you do it, the more ingrained it becomes. It's the same as anything. Because our minds are not only vessels we fill, but they're pieces of soft clay that are molded with what we berate it with. And he says, you got to have a mind to pray. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. This confidence and trust in God is why people will ask about our faith. That peace of God that passes understanding. Why are you going through all these troubles and you're not upset about it? You're not worried about it. You know why? Because God is God. It's one thing if you're a homeless person and you got that sign, right? The apocalypse is coming, or, you know, the end of days is here, and you seem crazy. You know, people don't ask that guy what he's talking about. You know why? Because he doesn't look any different than any other crazy person. But they think Christians are crazy people, and yet they can prosper and they can deal with life situations. They can get through life because they know that God is God, and that when they put their faith and their trust and they have a mind to pray, that God takes care of them. There in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And that goes along with what we were talking about this morning, doesn't it? In Bible class, give me the Bible. The question I have is, are we giving folks the Bible? Are we giving them the Bible? Are we going to them and we're saying, well, baptism is necessary for salvation, and we want to hit them over the head with it? Or are we presenting them the Scriptures? Are we letting God speak? When we come to opportunities because of that peace of God that passes understanding, maybe you don't have that peace. I very well be. But if you don't, it's because you're lacking some element here. Not because there's something intrinsically wrong with you or intrinsically wrong with God. It's because you have trained yourself to do otherwise. And that's all of it. And it's about retraining ourselves. Wives, you know what that's like. You get a man when you marry him, you got all kinds of bad habits to fix. Right? Most of them don't work, do they? Right, Jerry? That's right. Good luck. That's what we're talking about, though. All those bad habits that you got to fix. And it's about getting to work. It's about having that mind to work that those in the days of Nehemiah had. To putting God first and letting everything else fall away. Because in the end, nothing else matters. And so we need a mind to pray. The second thing he talks about here is in verse 8. He says, finally, brethren, I love this. This is probably number 7, and I'll even give it a number. It's probably number 7 on my list of favorite passages. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Not only do we need a mind to pray, but we need a mind that dwells on positive things, the mind that thinks on better things. And we fill our minds with all kinds of garbage. And we sit in front of the television, and there are very few programs that are uplifting. There are very few programs that build us up, that improve us, that teach us something worthwhile, or teach us anything, period. The sad thing that I find is most of the programs on television are meant to waste time. You know why? Because people are reaching the end. They're striving for it. People want to escape their life. And they do it just as well with television as they do with drugs and alcohol. They're trying to escape their lives. You know what? Christians have a way of escape, don't we? It's not in the television. At the end of our lives, we have a means of escaping this life with not only our sanity, which is difficult to do in this life, but with something greater. With an eternity promised to us from the God of heaven and earth. With a position in His court. A place in His house to dwell for the rest of eternity. What an amazing promise. But you know what that means? We have no need of escaping this life in any other means. We don't need to waste time. We don't need to burn the hours. We don't need to burn... We don't need to. Because we have an escape that comes at the end of our lives. Psalm 119, 36 through 38, he says, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. That is to say, help me, or help my mind to dwell on things that are good. Your word, he says, your testimonies, and not to the bad things, covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things, and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant, who is devoted to fearing you. Give me the good things in life, and help me to ignore the bad things. Folks, the world is negative. And you know what? It influences us. If we live in the world, we can't help but be influenced by it. And that's unfortunate. But when we willfully take part in negative things, we're encouraging that negativity even further. When we take part in worthless things, when we subject ourselves to things that don't matter, we lose sight of what is really important. And I'm sure that all the people that tell me that they don't have time to read their Bibles have plenty of time to watch ridiculously terrible television shows. Things that tear down, that deconstruct the principles of the Scriptures, that encourage bad behavior and negativity. They have more than enough time to do those things, but they don't have time to focus their minds on things that really matter. And I am purposed